Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text for this morning is the prophet Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with the 10th verse. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And we pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Well, yesterday was obviously pretty big deal, wasn't it? I hope that it lived up to your expectations. I hope that you could enjoy it with friends and family. Hope it was a great time. And I think one of the things that made yesterday so special is how the event was right here in Minnesota. And you don't always appreciate how nice it is to have something like that right here in Minnesota. And you know, just to state the obvious, since I'm sure we all know what I'm talking about, but the event that I'm talking about from yesterday, of course, is church, right? Going to church. Is there some other big event, you know? Obviously, the Super Bowl was yesterday, but church was too. And sometimes it can be easy for us to downplay or think church isn't quite as big of a deal. It's not maybe as epic or intense as a Super Bowl. And yet, here in our lesson, God chooses to compare his word, which we have in church, with things that are seemingly very plain, not epic or grand like a Super Bowl. He compares it to mere rain and snow from heaven. And so, looking at our text today, I'd even suggest that the word is more lasting and impactful than a Super Bowl. I mean, after all, who even can remember the winners of different Super Bowls throughout the past? You know, years move by and you don't really keep track of it too much, and yet God's word is far more lasting and impactful in our lives. It doesn't always seem that way, though, does it? The lesson says the word does not return void or empty. It does things. It is going to accomplish what God wants. And yet sometimes we have a problem with God's word, a big challenge, because in our feelings and in our experience, we maybe don't feel like it does accomplish anything. Do I really leave from hearing God's word better off than when I came? Do I walk out of chapel differently than I came in? It can all seem pretty similar. Have I really grown in God's word or grown spiritually? But even if you think about maybe your education, after a day of classes, you don't necessarily feel like, oh yeah, I'm just a ton smarter, more intelligent. And yet, over time, through your years of study, when you look back, you realize, yeah, I have learned a thing or two. I've been much more able in this or that area. And so, we can grow and all of that without necessarily feeling it in those little increments. God's word can work, though we don't notice it as much in feelings and experience. But the second problem that kind of comes from that first problem is that we don't have it in our feeling or experience of, wow, this is really doing something for me. It can be easy to downplay the word and disregard it as not that important. I mean, the word can, you'll be right available to us, and how easy is it to just kind of think of an excuse to get out of it of, oh, I don't want to hear it. Maybe I want to just pretend to do homework instead, or I have some other, you know, I stubbed my toe, or, you know, who knows what else I have to do. So it's easy to kind of want to think of a way out of it to avoid it. The other challenge with it is even when the word is right in front of us, and how easy can it be to waste that time, to not pay attention, to not listen to it. And we can think to ourselves like, oh, you know, yeah, it's God's word, but, you know, I'm in this religion class with this awful, boring, you know, redheaded professor. And so, you know, I'm just going to instead get my phone out and take selfies with a Snapchat filter that turns me into a rainbow unicorn eating a candy bar and explosions in the background, right? I mean, hopefully no one's done that yet, but, you know, it's just whatever our way of time wasting is, isn't it? Whether it's distracted in one thing or plain old-fashioned zoning out, you know, it can be easy for us when God's word is even right in front of us to be, you know, miles away. And yeah, our lesson doesn't make the word sound so epic. It makes it sound pretty plain. God doesn't compare his word as like it's as magical as a unicorn eating a candy bar. He doesn't say that it's as, you know, epic as some, you know, mind-blowing explosion, or it's not like Super Bowl tickets. It's plain and maybe sometimes boring water and snow that we don't appreciate. Really, we don't give enough tribute to water and snow if you think about it. It really does more than the Super Bowl does for us. Yet we really don't appreciate the water cycle. But the rain and snow waters the entire planet. It only waters and gives us everything we need to survive because all plants and stuff exist and can grow and thrive because of it. And yet we don't really like think, you know, I should take time to really tip my hat to the water cycle. And so with God's word too. I mean, we, you know, can take it for granted just like that water cycle, even though it does so, absolutely so much for us, even without seeing or being aware of it. You know, it is so powerful. The lesson says it doesn't return void. It's going to do its work. And what a great comfort it is, because that also emphasizes God's grace for us, that if the word is the thing working, it means we're the ones not working. That it's God's grace. It's his grace, his love for us that we don't deserve that accomplishes all of these great things. That in our lost, sinful situation, God didn't leave us there, but has sent us things to bring us back to himself totally by his grace. And so, yeah, the word comes to us and brings all these great benefits. It tells us of the work that Christ came to do. It tells us his perfect life, his righteousness counts for you and me now, so that we're right with God, even though we shouldn't deserve that. The word tells us that his death on the cross counts for us, and our forgiveness of sins is there for you and me, all for free and by his grace. The word tells us that his resurrection counts for us. It counts for us as an assurance of our own resurrection and our own justification with him. And the word does all of these things, but it also brings us the very faith needed to receive Christ's blessings, so that by that faith that we receive his grace and forgiveness and even eternal life itself. Again, emphasizing it being completely by God's grace. Christ did the work. The word does the work to bring all of that stuff, all those wonderful blessings to us. Truly, this lesson in the power of God's word shows us his grace as well. And, you know, having thought about the Super Bowl, I don't know, maybe you were with friends a little bit for that, but there's always, like, one person, at least, that says something along the lines of, like, oh, I'm not really into football or the Super Bowl. I just want to see the commercials, right? You know, those type of people. I know, it's unbelievable. But with that in mind, too, it brings us to a really important application of God's word here. That, you know, soon enough, you students are going to be gone, and probably in some church, who knows where. How do you know what church to go to? Well, our lesson shows the priority of the word taught in its truth and purity. That's number one. I, of course, would recommend a ELS or Wells Church, because that's how I roll. But it also shows, you know, with that priority, just like how, you know, sometimes it's easy to prioritize the Super Bowl commercials over the Super Bowl itself, you know, there are going to be quirks at whatever church you end up at, little things that you might not be a fan of at any given point in time. I mean, maybe there's going to be something about the hymns or the music that you don't like. Yeah, everywhere we're going to have to, every now and then, sing a hymn we don't like. Maybe there's going to be something about the pastor that rubs you the wrong way or does something differently than you were used to. Maybe there's a member that's kind of annoying or something like that, right? There's going to be all sorts of little quirks that come up, like those commercials for the Super Bowl. It'd be easy for us to make those things a lot bigger and thus prioritize it over the Word. The reality is that no congregation, no church is going to live up to the ideal of our preferences because there are too many preferences to accommodate. And so when our lesson prioritizes and shows the Word as number one, it also shows us to be a team player with whatever churches we end up in, unless something is manifestly sinful, like, you know, that sort of thing. But really the priority is on God's Word being true and pure and being easygoing about many other things that at times can rub us the wrong way. So, yeah, whenever it comes to a church on this earth, nothing is going to live up to our preferences, but the Word still can and does great things for us. The Word is really the priority. So anyways, every day with God's Word is a big deal. It's a veritable Super Bowl for our spirituality. But it's not as epic sounding, as, of course, as a Super Bowl. It's something that's plain and simple, like the water cycle, like plain old snow and rain. But that doesn't mean it doesn't do something far more profound and lasting. That Word truly does work. As our lesson shows us, it doesn't return void. It brings and strengthens faith in our hearts. We don't always feel it in our experience. It gives us comfort and peace in this life, though it's not always so obvious. And it truly brings us Christ and his forgiveness and eternal life, though we might not be able to see it. Truly, yes, the Word is everything to us. Amen.